Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
I am Bishop Swilly. I'm married to this woman right here. This is Prophet Deborah Swilly, who is an incredible woman. On our desk, dais today, is back for a second week returning. Minister A.J. Donaldson and Minister Kendi Ward. And new today is Jason and... What did I say? Sorry, Jeremy. No. Sorry. And Zanisha. Y'all give them a God bless you. That's good. You may be seated. I want to tell you, if this is your first time at Hope United, we're so glad you're here. And I want to say to all the Hope United family, the next 2 weeks are the most fertile weeks to invite people to God's house. Palm Sunday, Celebration Sunday, nobody does it like Hope. It's going to be crazy next Sunday. It'll be anybody that has a pulse, bring them. And then, of course, Easter, and there's three services on Easter. You'll hear about that. If this is your first time, I want you to look. There's a QR code up here. You can find out everything about Hope because we want to serve you. Okay. We are now in the third part of the series, Covenantal Relationships. And as Sonny and I were praying about it this week, my heart just broke for all of the broken covenant relationships. I felt what Jesus must have felt when he looked over the city. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. He's crying because they were scattered. They were beat up. Kind of sounds like today when people are saying, who in the world can you trust? So how do we develop, grow, nurture these covenantal relationships in a community of believers? Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. So how do we actually live out one family in faith? Now, it's great. We do that, make our confession, our declaration. Okay, how do we really live that out? Here's what I want to tell you. Start here. Identify what part of the body you are. Let God identify what part of the body you are. Then let God identify you. Don't walk past somebody. Say, now, who are they to me in the body? And then we intentionally admit the fact we can't function without each other. How can the eye say to the ear, I don't need you? How can you... we? Turn to somebody and say, I need you. So if we can't function without each other, realize that God made it where we can't live without other people. So we must deal healthily with each other. I'm giving you two bonus principles. I just want to tell you how thankful I am for this woman right here. She makes everything happen for me these last 2 weeks. Thank you. Along with the three people up there in the high and lifted up place.
The hidden ones.
And little Big Dom and Little Dom. Thank you guys for all you do. Are you thankful for the people that are behind the scenes in your life? Because you're not there without them. Okay, here we go. So the two bonus principles are you celebrate people for who they are, not judge them for what they're not. Y'all get that? People have a trouble with some. No, no. Okay, I don't need to see that. Y'all are smart. The principle is, if they were everything and you were everything, you'd have no need of each other. So, Kendi, what happened this week?
So, this week, we had several discussions with members in the body about the last two sermons on covenantal relationships. And so, just like Pastor Pete said, we were touched and we were moved, and it sparked conversations about, okay, what do we need to share next that we think would be beneficial, helpful, to help us to mature into the relationships that we needed, and ask God, okay, how can we help us to have those relationships and to be one family in faith?
Good. So, you're up.
Overall into our pyramid. Level one.
Wait a minute. Here we go.
Let's do this again. All right, Hope, let's take another look at the screen, all right? A little bit more in detail with our pyramid. Level one, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the genesis of every relationship. God is the judge of every relationship. You are always one with him first. So before I could get married, before I could have kids, I had to establish my covenant relationship with him first. God is omnipotent,
come on,
omnipresent, and eternal.
Good job. All right. Kitty? Oh, sorry.
Level two.
I am so sorry.
Don't skip them, Bishop. Don't skip them. So where two become one. Because God joins you together forever. Wow. This is total vulnerability and transparency. Legacy happens here. Wow. So level two is big. If you really think about it, it's big. Going back to the scripture where we've spoken about it the past few weeks, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Yes. You don't have to worry about some form of separation. Because when you put in the work, you are ultimately honoring the covenant. You're not in a covenant for a season. You're in it forever.
Now.
So level three, that's most of us here. So that is our relationship with our brothers and sisters, most brothers and sisters in Christ, where there is limited vulnerability and transparency as the Spirit leads. So Apostle touched on it a little bit. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he compared us to our physical bodies, where he said it's body, but many parts. He wrote that how can the eye say,
that's right,
I don't need the hand, right? And if the whole body were just an eye, how would you be able to hear? So some of us are eyes. We see, God shows us, we see. Some of us are ears, we hear.
Come on,
some
baby.
Of us are the mouth, we speak the word. Some of us are the feet to go out and carry the word of God. But every part, every person, every part of this body is important for the functioning of the body. We used to sing a song, I need you to survive, right? I care for you, you care for me. We're all a part of God's family. I need you to survive. And I think a lot of times we don't realize that the person sitting next to us isn't just somebody that just came to church, that God intended for you, purpose for you to be here, because there's somebody in here that you need to survive. Right. So we can't be like the servant who hid his talent, right? He was cast out into damnation with gnashing of teeth because he hid his talent. If we hide our gift, we sit on our gift, there's somebody that needs that, and their future is dependent on it. Some of us, I'm sorry.
we're just, okay.
You get it. We need each other to survive.
Kendi, this is not even the message. This is just review. Okay. AJ.
Whew. I finally got number four, Kendi. I finally got number four.
Come on, thank you. AJ.
Yes, you did. I appreciate that. You must always be mentored and be a mentor. The truth you have learned and experienced must be shared. Daily worship is the highest form of mentoring. Now, as the leader of an organization called United Mentors, cheap plug, the dynamics of paying it forward is our talents, is our gifts, it's also our pain.
Oh, that's good.
Because when you hide that pain, it has no purpose. We must pay it forward so that that pain has value. Because I could definitely tell you what not to do. Because I've been through some things. And when we see those little kids, those little babies.
Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Jeremy, ladies, well, those little girls are there worshiping God. Despite what the world tries to tell us. That's daily worship. That is daily mentorship. That is us paying it forward.
Good word, AJ. All right, baby. Good job.
Level five. And I won't say that I was born the fifth month, the 25th day, the 55th year. Weighed 7 pounds, 15 ounces at 10 after 5.
Okay, you're not going to say that.
I won't say that. Mercy. It's the number of mercy. I love this. I had to have number one, you know, that was, but the man gave it away. So level five, I said, I'm going to love this one. Okay, level five is our covenant with God to save and influence
the world.
You must feel the love from the heart of God for the world who desperately needs us. God is a God of strategy. So I said, okay, God, what's your strategy here? And he said, his strategy is compassion.
Yes. Yeah.
Get that word, compassion. And he said, from your abundance in your life, you must find release through compassion. Your abundance of time, your abundance of money, your abundance of resources, you find release. And it's not your job when God says give. It's not your job to say, well, they're just going to buy drugs on the corner begging. But that's their relationship with God. It's your responsibility to listen and obey. You need to release. It's required of us to have compassion like Jesus. He was moved. Father, help us to be moved with your heart of compassion.
Great job. All right, Kendi, tell us a story. Give us the story that's the pretext for the message.
Right, so we're in Ruth. We talked about Ruth the last 2 weeks, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, not just because she gets a guy and I write romance, but...
Come on, Kendi.
There are several stories in the book of Ruth, but one is about relationship, the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. And if we look at it carefully, we'll see that Ruth and Naomi went through all the levels of relationship.
Exactly.
So when Elimelech mm-hmm. and Naomi, when their sons married Orpah and Ruth, they started off with their daughter-in-laws at level five, right? And then the husband died, the sons died, and the three women are now widows. And their relationship changed. They graduated to level four, right?
Right.
And then Naomi got word that things were going better in her hometown, and she says, I'm going back. And the daughters started off with them, both of them, the daughter-in-law started, both Orpah and Ruth started off. And then Naomi said, you know what? You'd be better off if you go back home to your mama's house, because
there ain't nothing here.
Ain't nothing here. I'm old. And so Orpah said, peace out, I'm going back. And Ruth said, do not make me leave you. And then we see another level of relationship develop between Ruth and Naomi. They move to level three, right? And so they're in Naomi's hometown. She's mentoring and she's discipling Ruth at that level three relationship. And that was necessary. That was very necessary for both of their growth. And so she leads Ruth to Boaz, to the threshing floor. And Boaz and Ruth enter into a level two relationship, and they become one. But also we see that Naomi and Ruth's relationship also levels up to level two, because at the end, women say to her that having Ruth as a daughter is better than seven sons. And they call Ruth's son like he belonged to Naomi because God was restoring her. And the only reason that they could be equally yoked, because they were equally yoked, because Ruth decided that Naomi's God would be her God. Because she was a Moabite. She served many gods. So she wasn't even equally yoked with her own husband.
Exactly.
That was an unequally yoked relationship. But she entered into an equally yoked relationship with Naomi. And I believe that's how she was able to go from
great
five
job.
To four to three to two. Amen.
You guys, we're going to have to keep moving. All right. The book of Ruth relates this story of these two women of Moab. Married to these two sons, and they escaped the famine in Judah. 10 years, a horrible decade of death. You heard it? And what I want you to hear the principle is covenantal relationships change location because of God's will, not because of fear of finances. You don't move somewhere else because I need to go there for the money. You're going to get in big trouble. If God don't say to move, you need to stay right where you are. Now remember this. Boaz stayed in this place of famine and was blessed in famine. That's why rich people buy when poor people freak out and sell. The principle is covenantal relationships will keep you in the Goshen principle, the Goshen blessing. You tithe not because you have abundance. You tithe to get abundance. Sonny.
Also, I wanted to say, it's not my thing to say, but 10 is a number of a completed work in us. And so there was a completed work done in all of them that were still alive. And as I jumped up, I lost my place.
There it is.
No, you've got to have what I have in here. Almost there, almost there. So Naomi became convinced that their relationship cannot work. She was convinced, if you stay here with me, we're going to starve to death. So go home to your mother. Option one, option two. But God always has a third option. He always has a third option. Because the third option is his. His ways are higher than our ways. His mind is higher than our mind. He knows things we don't know. So if you don't consult him, you will not know what his third option is for you. But Ruth had been around Naomi long enough to know that her God was a God that answers. I believe that Ruth turned to Naomi's God and said, I need this God. I will not leave you. Because she saw that there was truth in that God. So the third option was, wherever you go, I'm going. And she went with Naomi.
And the other principle is, Elijah principle.
I got something good for that.
God always give you an option. You can stay where you are, or you can follow me.
Okay, the whole thing with Elijah and Elisha is that this was a test. Elisha said, I want double of what you've got. Now, if he's got $100 in his pocket and I say, I need $200, he can't give me what he doesn't have. Only God can give me what he doesn't have. So the test was, if you see me. So can you see how we have to pursue God? Elisha was relentless on pursuing God until he got the double portion. But we think that Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. He did not. The chariot of fire went between Elijah and Elisha. Elijah went up in a whirlwind, and the mantle went up with him, but God threw it back down.
Okay.
God threw it back down. So the test was, if you keep your eyes on me, you will receive. And that's what we have to do. We have to keep our eyes on him. I've got a lot more.
All right.
All right, so listen, our guy Boaz, right?
Yep.
Boaz truly understood his covenantal relationship. Not only did he understand it, he was obedient to the covenant relationship, to Naomi's family and legacy, right? Uh-huh. Without Boaz, the legacy does not continue, okay? Not only did he understand it, he remained obedient. As Jesus is to us, yes. Boaz was to Naomi's family.
Yes. That's right.
Okay? With that being said, to possess, we all have the ability to possess a redeeming spirit. So in our covenantal relationships, understand and know that we can be redeemers in that particular relationship as well. And as we pass forward on to all the others, right, as we go back and forth within this room, as I transfer onto you, you could transfer onto someone else as well. So the relationship is not a one-sided relationship. You could be a redeemer to others as well.
And how long does he want this covenant to last?
1,000 generations.
Okay.
So now Ruth, we're back to Ruth. She makes a covenant with Naomi, which leads her to a covenant with Boaz. Ruth was 100% sacrificial. There were no benefits listed for Ruth. Her priority was to serve Naomi. This sacrifice had a ripple effect. Because after that, it was Naomi to Boaz, then to Obed, and then the ultimate sacrifice, which was Jesus.
All right. You're up.
I'm up. Okay, let me just make this one statement, okay? Because it has to do with Elisha and Elijah. But the further you go in God, the more casualties you cause by failure. So it's very important, very important that you are serious about your covenants. Serious.
Just give me this principle.
Okay, the principle is that Lot and his family got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom and Gomorrah was not out of them. Because as you recall, Sodom and Gomorrah were a godless and perverted is the word. It was a perverted city. It's two cities. And what happened to those two girls, they got away and they found a perverted way to have children.
That's right.
They had incest with their father. I won't say too much. But they had a perverted way because they had Sodom and Gomorrah in them.
Good. Ruth, you're up.
So in Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to read, this wasn't in the notes, but Ruth chapter 1, verses 20 to 21 says, Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me?" So because of Naomi's grief that she was experiencing, she felt like God had abandoned her. Except she forgot that a God is a God of covenant, that he does not go back on his word and on his promises. And as a child of Israel, he was in covenant relationship with Naomi personally, but also with the nation, right? And so the Hebrew word hesed, I hope I'm saying it right, is H-E-S-E-D. It means loyal, steadfast, faithful, loved, based on a promise or agreement. Or a covenant, based on a promise, agreement, or covenant. This is the word used for God's covenant love for his people. So even though Naomi didn't feel like God was there, God was moving, she felt like God had abandoned her, but God's hesed, his covenantal love, was in work behind the scenes, working
always
to redeem her.
Beautiful. All right, here we go.
All right. Ruth 1:16-18. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you." All right, so let's break this down. Urge means to press. Don't press into me. Ruth is basically telling Naomi, "Hey, don't pressure me, bro. I got this." Now, I'm bonded to you, right? Uh-huh. The bonded piece is I can't go against. This is the piece that we can't go against who I've become. I can't go against my covenant. This is my covenant. I have to honor my covenant.
Listen to this.
Naomi is declaring to Ruth, "Ruth, I'm being obedient. Let me remain still and remain obedient." Now, we all need to use our words within our relationships. We all need to declare that obedience with one another, with all of us in this room. Yeah, I understand you want me to go this way, but I'm being obedient to my covenant, because if I disobey my covenant, I'm also disobeying God. Breaking a covenant is betrayal to not just the person, but as I just mentioned, it's also betrayal to God. Wow. Because that was the first covenant relationship that we had to establish before we could establish any other relationships after that, all right? So think about this. Breaking covenant is also betrayal to God. So when we break with anyone, no matter the situation or relationship, no matter how tired, no matter how exhausted the relationship may be, just understand and know, once we break that relationship, we're breaking it with God as well. To turn back, okay? To return to you. We are one. Covenant, every covenantal relationship is the establishment of being one. And I cannot undo what God has joined. If God has already joined you, you can't unbake the cake, right?
No.
Like Shiloh was up here last week talking about the cake. You can't. If the cake is baked, you can't unbake it. You just got to eat it. Just eat the cake. Eat the cake.
It was good. It was just long. Okay.
And then Ruth is like, where you go, I will go. Uh-huh. And where you stay, I will stay. So we're going to keep breaking it down. We're going to keep it going. So go here means move, proceeded, walk, depart, or change directions. So Ruth is one of the main people demonstrating loyalty. This is an extremely important trait in a covenant.
Yes.
The meaning of Ruth's name, believe it or not, is friendship. Wow. Ruth is living out her destiny. She was going where God wants her to go, where she was needed. So the principle here is you have agreed to walk together, change directions together, and stay together. So the covenant is the highest level of agreement because God is in the middle of it. Amen. Always there for you. Ruth said she will stay where Naomi stays, right? She said she'll stay here, meaning stay, pass the night, and abide, right? So these are the moments that help to define, even in your relationships, what level you are in the covenant. As Jeremy was saying in the beginning, Ruth said to Naomi, don't pressure me. She was showing Ruth where she was in their covenant. I am where you are.
That's good.
And the last principle, in covenant, when you journey in life, get two rooms. Even if you have a bad day or want to change your name to Bitter, we're still in the next room.
Hey, Jake.
Whoo, this one.
She said, your people are my people. And if we take from Ruth and Naomi and come back here to practical, I realized when I was praying about this, I said, Lord, what would you say? And it's our relationship that he brought right before my eyes. Because when we connect, and you've heard this, maybe many of you have heard the story before, where everybody was calling you dad. I wasn't going to call you dad. And that was because of my life experiences. That name had a very negative connotation in my world. And I wasn't quite sure about the people. Because if your people are now my people, if I go into this relationship with you, I'm all in. Where you go, I go. Your people are my people. The Bill James, the Cecilia James, they are going to be my people. Some of the people that were around Bishop aren't around anymore. So for us to get into this covenant relationship, you know that just because we say family, just because you have blood, you share DNA, it may not be covenant. That's the principle. The principle that says family may not always be covenant, but covenant is always family.
Kendi, you're up.
I don't know. That was, you waxed deep, sir. So Ruth said, my God will be your God. And I talked about that a little bit earlier. That is how she became equally yoked with Naomi, which led her to a level two relationship with Naomi. The principle is your level one is my level one. Your day one, my day one. Right?
Right, right.
So we have to have the same God to be equally yoked and to be heading in the same direction.
All right.
All right.
There we go.
Okay. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Dying is a very painful process.
It is.
It is a very painful process. We have so many things in us that he's trying to get us to release so that we can be more like Jesus. So in dying, she said, I will let those things go that are not like you. She's following Naomi as she follows God. She said, I'll let those things go. I will follow you. And where you're buried, I think of water baptism when I hear that word buried. It's like when you go down, you come up a new person. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And she said, where you're buried, I'm buried. So she was making a covenant of change, a covenant of transformation.
So the two principles you see on the screen there is a covenant relationship goes the distance. The other principle is, you heard it, when things die in you, they will die in me. In South Georgia, outside of Baxley, Georgia, in a small, tiny little farming community that's called Surrency, is this Swilly family cemetery. My grandparents, my great-grandparents are buried there, my grandparents, my father. Covenant is we started together and we're going to finish together. Remember, covenant is generational. I was speaking in this huge conference with thousands of people in Argentina when my dad died. And I told them that today I preach for dad. Placed with standing ovation for 10 minutes on the clock. And today, I'm who I am because of my mom and dad. For the grandmother and granddads that went before me, they were covenant people, and they were covenant with me. The principle is only death can divide us or separate us. Covenant, my friends, is serious covenant. It's very serious. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her to go. Principle, if God's joined us together, you're not getting rid of me. People ask, what would I do if Sonny left me? I would go find her. If you try to get out of covenant with me, I'll find you. That's covenant. And I just want to tell you today, we're in a place that knows how to love. And for all of you that are listening on the podcast, I want you to hear it. We love you. We want to be in covenant with you. Thank you, Father. I wanted to end the service today by doing something that would let us express what we're feeling here. Did you feel her heart? Did you feel it? Did you feel his heart? I know you felt AJ. Kendi, you feel every week. Would you, before God, make a covenant with him that you will get with him and find out who you are? What part you play in this house? What part you play with the people that are around you right now in this body? Who are they? Who are you? How do we fit together? And I celebrate you for what you are, not for what you're not. I watched the women's ministry at my condo. It was not big enough for all the women that came. And they started sharing. And I found out things about women in this house. I didn't even know who they were, what they did, what gifts they were that I wasn't even taking advantage of. Guys, listen to me. There's treasure sitting all around you right now. Treasure. Not to use them, to be in covenant with them where you got me. Whatever I give to you. And back, guys, do you realize the level of abundance we could go to, the level of success we could go to, if we just use the gifts in each other? I want you just to stand with me. And I want you to listen to this. Just open your hearts and then we'll pray close.
There's a cry of the Spirit for the bride. He's not coming back for individuals.
That's right.
He's coming back for a people. A people. He's looking for a family. He's looking for us to become one. Jesus said it. We just didn't hear it. Father, make them one as we are one. We have to be one first with him, but then we have to be one with each other. That's the cross. Today, I gave this analogy yesterday to the women. We've got to stop looking at each other and finding fault that they're not growing up or that they're less than or that they've got not getting over something. You've got to look at it as you have a mom and dad and you have a bunch of kids. And the older ones, you're more vulnerable with. But the babies, you understand and you cherish and you love them and you help them. We've got to see each other as a family. We've got to be a people. That's what he's coming back for. And that's what I hear. He's crying for the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We've got to become that one family in faith.
Let's all join hands. Yes. Can we do that? And repeat after me, Father.
Father,
I'm part of your body. And I know you made me important. But the people I hold their hands, they're important too. I can't function like you want me to function without them. Today, I covenant with you, God. You're first. And everybody else in their place will see the kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.